Chapter 11, The Investment Function. Page 91. Meaning of capital and investment. In ordinary parlance, investment means to buy shares, stocks, bonds and securities which are already existing in the stock market. But this is not real investment because it is simply a transfer of existing assets. Hence, this is called financial investment, which does not affect aggregate spending. In Keynesian terminology, investment refers to real investment which adds to capital equipment. It leads to increase in the levels of income and production by increasing the production and purchase of capital goods. Investment thus includes new plant and equipment, construction of public works like dams, roads, buildings, etc., net foreign investment, inventories and stocks and shares of new companies. In the words of Joan Robinson, by investment is meant an addition to capital, such as occurs when a new house is built or a new factory is built. Investment means making an addition to the stock of goods in existence. Capital, on the other hand, refers to real assets like factories, plants, equipment and inventories of finished and semi-finished goods. It is any previously produced input that can be used in the production process to produce other goods. The amount of capital available in an economy is the stock of capital. Thus, capital is a stock concept. To be more precise, investment is the production or acquisition of real capital assets during any period of time. To illustrate, suppose the capital assets of a firm on 31st March 2004 are rupees 100 crores and it invests at the rate of rupees 10 crore during the year 2004-2005. At the end of the next year, that is 31st March 2005, its total capital will be rupees 110 crores. Symbolically, let I be the investment and K be the capital in the year T, then IT is equal to KT minus KT minus 1. Here I and K are in capital and T is the subscript. Capital and investment are related to each other through net investment. Gross investment is the total amount spent on new capital assets in a year. But some capital stock wears out every year and is used up for depreciation and obsolescence. Net investment is gross investment minus depreciation and obsolescence charges for replacement investment. This is the net addition to the existing capital stock of the economy. If gross investment equals depreciation, net investment is zero and there is no addition to the economy's capital stock. If gross investment is less than depreciation, there is disinvestment in the economy and the capital stock decreases. Thus, for an increase in the real capital stock of the economy, gross investment must exceed depreciation. That is, there should be net investment. Types of investment. Induced investment. Real investment may be induced. Induced investment is profit or income motivated. Factors like prices, wages and interest change, which affect profits and influence induced investment. Similarly, demand also influences it. When income increases, consumption demand also increases, and to meet this, investment increases. In the ultimate analysis, induced investment is a function of the income. That is, capital I is equal to the function of capital Y. It is income elastic. It increases or decreases with the rise or fall in income as shown in figure 1. So in figure 1, we have a line I1, which is passing through the x-axis and rising as we move on the right on the x-axis. On the x-axis, we have income. On the y-axis is investment. The point where it cuts the x-axis is y1. There are two other points on the x-axis, y2 and y3, such that y2 is greater than y1 and y3 is greater than y2. Corresponding point y2 on the I1 line is the point I2, and corresponding to y3 is I3. A is the point on I3 y3 which corresponds to I2. Going back to the text. I1, I2 is the investment curve which shows induced investment at various levels of income. Induced investment is zero at OY1 income. When income increases to OY3, induced investment is I3Y3. A fall in income to OY2 also reduces induced investment to I2Y2. Induced investment may further be divided into 1. The average propensity to invest, and 2. The marginal propensity to invest. 1. The average propensity to invest is the ratio of investment to income, I upon Y. If the income is rupees 40 crores and investment is rupees 4 crores, then I upon Y is equal to 4 upon 40, which is 0.1. In terms of the above figure, the average propensity to invest at OY3 income level is I3Y3 upon OY3. Page 92. 2. The marginal propensity to invest is the ratio of change in investment to the change in income, that is delta I upon delta Y. If the change in investment delta I is rupees 2 crores and the change in income delta Y is equal to rupees 10 crores, then delta I upon delta Y is equal to 2 upon 10, which is equal to 0.2. In the figure 1, delta I upon delta Y is equal to I3A upon Y2Y3. Autonomous investment. Autonomous investment is independent of the level of income and is thus income inelastic. It is influenced by exogenous factors like innovations, inventions, growth of population and labor force, researches, social and legal institutions, weather changes, war, revolution, etc. But it is not influenced by changes in demand. Rather, it influences demand. Investment in economic and social overheads, whether made by the government or the private enterprises, is autonomous. Such investment includes expenditures on buildings, dams, roads, canals, schools, hospitals, etc. Since investment on these projects is generally associated with public policy, autonomous investment is regarded as public investment. In the long run, private investment of all types may be autonomous because it is influenced by exogenous factors. Diagrammatically, autonomous investment is shown as a curve parallel to the horizontal axis as I1 I dash curve in figure 2. So in figure 2 we have income on the x-axis, investment on y-axis. There is one line I1 I dash parallel to the income axis. A second line passing through I1 such that I2 is greater than I1 is I2 I double dash. And these two lines are parallel to each other. Going back to the text, it indicates that at all levels of income, the amount of investment OI1 remains constant. The upward shift of the curve to I2 I double dash indicates an increased steady flow of investment at a constant rate OI2 at various levels of income. However, for purposes of income determination, the autonomous investment curve is superimposed on the sieve curve in a 45 degrees line diagram. The present value PV criteria of investment. The present value criteria is considered to be the best method for evaluating capital investment proposals. Profitability of an investment project is evaluated by this method. It is also called as the net present value NPV criteria. It is calculated by using an appropriate rate of interest, which is the capital cost of a firm. This is the minimum rate of expected return likely to be earned by the firm on investment proposals. To find out the present value of cash flows expected in future periods, all the cash outflows and cash inflows are discounted at the above rate. Net present value is the difference between the total present value of cash outflows and the total present value of cash inflows occurring in periods over the entire life of the project. When the net present value is positive, the investment proposal is profitable and worth selecting. But if it is negative, the investment proposal is non-profitable and rejectable. To calculate net present value index of different investment proposals, the following method can be used. NPV is equal to total present value of all cash flows divided by initial investment. NPV method considers the time value of money. It compares time value of cash flows. NPV is equal to present value of gross earnings minus net cash investment. NPV can be found out from the following. NPV is equal to A1 upon 1 plus R whole raised to 1 plus A2 upon 1 plus R the whole raised to 2 plus A3 upon 1 plus R the whole raised to 3 going up to AN upon 1 plus R the whole raised to N minus capital C, where A1, A2, A3, which are all capital, etc., are the cash inflows at the end of first, second and third year respectively. Small n is the expected life of investment proposals. R, which is small in this case, is equal to the rate of discount, which is equal to the cost of capital, and capital C is equal to present value of costs. Thus, NPV is equal to sum of discounted gross earnings minus sum of discounted value of cost. For example, if the initial investment cost of a project is rupees 100 crores, cash inflow in the coming years is rupees 125 crores and the market rate of interest is 10% per annum, NPV will be as follows. NPV is equal to 125 divided by within bracket 1 plus 0.10 raised to 1 the whole minus 100, which is equal to 125 multiplied by 10 upon 11 minus 100, which is equal to 113.64 minus 100, which is equal to 13.64. Page 93. Accept or reject criteria. The decision criteria relating to NPV may be as under. A. If NPV is greater than 0, the project is profitable. B. If NPV is less than 0, the project will not be profitable. C. If NPV is equal to 0, the project may or may not be started. If the decision is to be taken between two investment projects, the project with high positive NPV would be selected rather than the other. Merits. NPV method has the following merits. 1. This method considers time value of money. 2. It considers the cash flows of the project in different time periods. 3. It is more scientific than traditional methods. 4. NPVs of different projects can be added to arrive at the cumulative NPV for a business. 5. Intermediate cash flows are reinvested at the discount rate. 6. The calculation of NPV allows expected change in discount rate. 7. The discount rate small r used for discounting future cash flows is in fact the minimum necessary rate of return, which consists of both net of return and premium required to set off the risk. 8. The discount rate applied to the NPV method is the capital cost of the firm. And 9. The use of NPV is the most profitable in view of the maximum profit. Demerits. There are also some demerits of this method. 1. It is difficult to calculate the profit cost with this method. 2. It is difficult to work out specially the cost of equity capital by this method. 3. It is not applicable without the knowledge of cost capital. 4. It favors long-run investment projects. 5. When projects with different investments are compared, this method does not give correct result. 6. Its assumption that the intermediate cash flows are reinvested on the capital cost of the firms is not always true. And 7. This method gives different rankings in the case of complicated projects in comparison to other methods. Determinants of the level of investment. The decision to invest in a new capital asset depends on whether the expected rate of return on the new investment is equal to or greater or less than the rate of interest to be paid on the funds needed to purchase this asset. It is only when the expected rate of return is higher than the interest rate that investment will be made in acquiring new capital assets. In reality, there are three factors that are taken into consideration while making any investment decision. They are A. The cost of the capital asset, B. The expected rate of return from it during its lifetime, and C. The market rate of interest. Keynes sums up these factors in his concept of marginal efficiency of capital, MEC. Marginal efficiency of capital, MEC. The marginal efficiency of capital is the highest rate of return expected from an additional unit of a capital asset over its costs. In the words of Kurihara, it is the ratio between the prospective yield of additional capital goods and their supply price. The prospective yield is the aggregate net return from an asset during its lifetime, while the supply price is the cost of producing this asset. If the supply price of a capital asset is rupees 20,000 and its annual yield is rupees 2,000, the marginal efficiency of this asset is 2,000 upon 20,000 multiplied by 100 upon 1, which is equal to 10%. Thus, marginal efficiency of capital, MEC, is the percentage of profit expected from a given investment on a capital asset. Page 94. Keynes relates the prospective yield of a capital asset to its supply price and defines the MEC as equal to the rate of discount, which would make the present value of the series of annuities given by the return expected from the capital assets during its life just equal to its supply price. Symbolically, this can be expressed as SP is equal to capital R1 upon 1 plus small I in bracket the whole raised to 1 plus capital R2 upon 1 plus I square plus, which goes up to Rn upon 1 plus I the whole raised to n, where SP is the supply price or the cost of the capital asset, R1, R2, etc. up to Rn are the prospective yields or the series of expected annual returns from the capital asset in the years 1, 2, 3 and n, and I is the rate of discount which makes the capital asset exactly equal to the present value of the expected yield from it. This small I is the MEC or the rate of discount which equates the two sides of the equation. If the supply price of a new capital asset is rupees 1,000 and its life is 2 years, it is expected to yield rupees 550 in the first year and 605 in the second year. Its MEC is 10%, which equates the supply price to the expected yields of this capital asset. Thus, SP, which is rupees 1,000, is equal to 550 upon 1.10 plus 605 upon 1 plus 10 whole square, which is equal to 500 plus 500. In equation 1, that is the equation of about SP, the term R1 upon 1 plus I is the present value or PV of the capital asset. The present value is the value of payments to be received in the future. It depends on the rate of interest at which it is discounted. Suppose we expect to receive rupees 100 from a machine in a year's time and the rate of interest is 5%. The present value of this machine is R1 upon 1 plus I equal to 100 upon 1 plus 0.5, which is rupees 95.24. If we expect to receive rupees 100 from the machine after 2 years, then its present value is 100 upon 1.05 the whole square, which is equal to rupees 90.70. The present value of a capital asset is inversely related to the rate of interest. The lower the rate of interest, the higher is the present value and vice versa. For instance, if the rate of interest is 5%, PV of an asset is rupees 100 for 1 year will be rupees 95.24. At 7% interest rate, it will be 93.45, and at 10% of interest rate, it will be 90.91. The relation between the present value and the rate of interest is shown in figure 3. So in figure 3 we have interest rate capital I on the x-axis, present value P on the y-axis. So we have a curve PR which is a downward sloping curve which crosses the x-axis at point Z. There are two points marked on the curve AB, A corresponding to I1, B corresponding to I2 on the x-axis such that I1 is less than I2 is less than Z. Corresponding to point A, on the y-axis the value is P1 and corresponding to point B, the value is P2 such that P1 is greater than P2. Returning to the text. In figure, we have the rate of interest taken on the horizontal axis while the present value of the project on the vertical axis. The curve PR shows the inverse relation between present value and the rate of interest. If the current rate of interest is I1, the present value of the project is P1. On the other hand, a higher rate of interest I2 will lead to a lower present value P2. And when the present value curve PR cuts the horizontal axis at point Z, the net present value becomes zero. As a matter of fact, the MEC is the expected rate of return over cost of a new capital asset. In order to find out whether it is worthwhile to purchase a capital asset, it is essential to compare the present value of the capital asset with its cost or supply price. If the present value of a capital asset exceeds its cost of buying, it pays to buy it. On the contrary, if its present value is less than its cost, it is not worthwhile investing in this capital asset. The same results can be had by comparing the MEC with the market rate of interest. If the MEC of a capital asset is higher than the market rate of interest at which it is borrowed, it pays to purchase the capital asset and vice versa. If the market interest rate equals the MEC of the capital asset, the firm is said to possess the optimum capital stock. If the MEC is higher than the rate of interest, there will be a tendency to borrow funds in order to invest in new capital assets. Page 95. If the MEC is lower than the rate of interest, no firm will borrow to invest in capital assets. Thus, the equilibrium condition for a firm to hold optimum capital stock is where the MEC equals the interest rate. Any disequilibrium between the MEC and the rate of interest can be removed by changing the capital stock and hence the MEC, or by changing the rate of interest, or both. Since the stock of capital changes slowly, therefore changes in the rate of interest are more important for bringing equilibrium. The above arguments which have been applied to a firm are equally applicable to the economy. Figure 4 shows the MEC curve of an economy. So in the figure 4 we have capital stock on the x-axis and MEC slash interest rate on the y-axis. The MEC is a downward sloping curve. There are two points K1 and K2 on the x-axis such that K1 is less than K2. Corresponding to the two points K1 and K2, we have R1 and R2 on the y-axis such that R1 is greater than R2. Returning to the text. So it has a negative slope from left to right downwards, which indicates that the higher the MEC, the smaller the capital stock. Or as the capital stock increases, the MEC falls. This is because of the operation of the law of diminishing returns in production. As a result, the marginal physical productivity of capital and the marginal revenue fall. In the figure, when the capital stock is OK1, the MEC is OR1. As the capital increases from OK1 to OK2, the MEC falls from OR1 to OR2. The net addition to capital stock K1, K2 represents the net investment in the economy. Further, to reach optimum or desired capital stock in the economy, the MEC must equal the rate of interest. If, as shown in the figure, the existing capital stock is OK1, the MEC is OR1, the rate of interest is at OR2. Everyone in the economy will borrow funds and invest in capital assets. This is because MEC OR1 is higher than the rate of interest at OR2. This will continue till the MEC at OR1 comes down to the level of the interest rate at OR2. When the MEC equals the rate of interest, the economy reaches the level of optimum capital stock. The fall in the MEC is due to the increase in the actual capital stock from OK1 to the optimum or the desired capital stock OK2. The increase in the firm's capital stock by K1, K2 is the net investment of the firm. But it is the rate of interest which determines the size of the optimum capital stock in the economy. And it is the MEC which relates the amount of desired capital stock to the rate of interest. Thus, the negative slope of the MEC curve indicates that as the rate of interest falls, the optimum stock of capital increases. Marginal efficiency of investment, MEI. The marginal efficiency of investment is the rate of return expected from a given investment on a capital asset after recovering all its costs, except the rate of interest. Like the MEC, it is a rate which equates the supply price of a capital asset to its prospective yield. The investment on an asset will be made depending upon the interest rate involved in getting funds from the market. If the rate of interest is high, investment is at a low level. A low rate of interest leads to an increase in investment. Thus, the MEI relates investment to the rate of interest. The MEI schedule shows the amount of investment demanded at various rates of interest. That is why it is also called the investment demand schedule or curve, which has a negative slope as shown in figure 5, panel A. So in figure 5, we have two panels, panel A and panel B. On the x-axis is investment, on the y-axis is rate of interest or MEI. So in panel A, the MEI is a straight line with a negative slope, but it is a more slanting slope. In panel B, the MEI is more flat. So there are two points, I1, I2, such that I1 is less than I2 in panel B. And similarly, there are two points, I dash and I double dash. These are the points on the investment axis, and corresponding these two points, the points on the y-axis are R1 and R2, which are common to both the panels A and B. Returning to the text. So in the figure at OR1, rate of interest, investment is OI dash. As the rate of interest falls to OR2, investment decreases to OI double dash. To what extent the fall in the interest rate will increase investment depends upon the elasticity of the investment demand curve or the MEI. The less elastic is the MEI curve, the lower is the increase in investment as a result of fall in the rate of interest, and vice versa. In figure 5, the vertical axis measures the rate of interest and MEI, and the horizontal axis measures the amount of investment. The MEI and MEI1 are investment demand curves. MEI curve in panel A is less elastic to investment, which increases by I dash, I double dash. This is less than the increase in the investment I1, I2 shown in panel B, where MEI1 curve is elastic. Thus, given the shape and position of MEI curve, a fall in the rate of interest will increase the volume of investment. Page 96. On the other hand, given the rate of interest, the higher the MEI, the larger shall be the volume of investment. The higher marginal efficiency of investment implies that the MEI curve shifts to the right. When the existing capital assets wear out, they are replaced by new ones and the level of investment increases. But the amount of induced investment depends on the existing level of total purchasing. So, more induced investment occurs when the total purchasing is higher. The higher total purchasing tends to shift the MEI to the right, indicating that more inducement to investment takes place at a given level of interest rate. This is explained in Figure 6, where MEI1 and MEI2 curves indicate two different levels of total purchasing in the economy. So basically, there are two MEIs. One is MEI1 and one is MEI2. And for a particular rate of interest, R1, on the MEI1 curve, investment is I1, and on MEI2 curve, the investment is I2, such that I1 is less than I2. This is for investment on the x-axis and rate of interest and MEI on the y-axis in the figure 6. Going back to the text. Let us suppose that MEI1 curve indicates that at rupees 200 crores of total purchasing, OI1 or rupees 20 crores investment occurs at R1 interest rate. If total purchasing rises to rupees 500 crores, the MEI1 curve shifts to the right as MEI2 and the level of induced investment increases to OI2, that is rupees 50 crores at the same interest rate OR1. Relation between MEC, capital stock, and MEI, investment. Professor Lerner pointed out as early as in 1946 that Keynes erred not only descriptively but also analytically by failure to distinguish between the marginal efficiency of capital, MEC, and the marginal efficiency of investment, MEI. Following Lerner, note 2, A.P. Lerner, The Economics of Control, 1946. Gardner Ackley, Note 3, G. Ackley, Opposite, Chapter 17. And some other economists have clearly defined and distinguished between the two concepts. The MEC is based on a given supply price for capital and the MEI on induced changes in this price. The MEC shows the rate of return on all successive units of capital without regard to existing stock of capital. On the other hand, the MEI shows the rate of return on only units of capital over and above the existing stock of capital. In the MEC, the capital stock is taken on the horizontal axis of a diagram, while in the MEI, the amount of investment is taken horizontally on the x-axis. The former is a stock concept and the latter is a flow concept. The MEC determines the optimum capital stock in an economy at each level of interest rate. The MEI determines the net investment of the economy at each interest rate given the capital stock. The net investment is the addition to the existing capital stock whereby the actual capital stock increases. Investment will therefore continue to be made in the economy till the optimum capital stock is reached. The amount of investment to be made to attain optimum capital stock in the economy will depend upon the law of production under which the capital goods industry is operating. Under the law of constant costs, the supply curve of capital will be perfectly elastic and the rate of investment per time period is determined as shown in Figure 7. Figure 7 is a very complicated figure having three panels A, B, and C, and I will not be able to explain the figure, so you will have to refer to the digital version of this figure. Panel A of the figure shows the MEC curve relating optimum capital stocks to different interest rates. Panel C of the figure shows a perfectly elastic supply curve SS of the capital goods industry given the gross investment of ON. Out of this ON gross investment, the replacement investment is OR, which is assumed to be constant as shown by the dotted vertical line from the point R. Thus, the net investment rate per time period available for capital goods industry is RN. Panel B shows MEI curves relating the rate of investment to each market rate of interest. The MEI curves are horizontal or perfectly elastic because the supply curve of capital is perfectly elastic. Page 97. Given these, take point A on the MEC curve in panel A of the figure, where the interest rate equals the MEC. It is the equilibrium point where the optimum capital stock OK1 is determined. If the rate of interest falls to OR3 and equals the MEC at point C, OK3 becomes the optimum or desired capital stock. Now OK1 is the actual capital stock. So there is a gap between the actual and the desired capital stock equal to K1, K3. This can be filled by increasing the net investment in the capital goods industry. The rate of available net investment is OI in panel B or RN in panel C, which is the capacity level of the capital goods industry. Investment in capital goods industry can be increased on the basis of the MEI of the industry. When the capital stock is OK1 and MEI curve is DEI in panel B, when investment is made at interest rates below OR3, the capital stock will increase per time period. Thus, in period 1, when net investment is made at OI rate, the MEI curve is FGI and the capital stock increases to OK2 from OK1. In period 2, with the same rate of investment OI, when the MEI curve is HJI, the capital stock increases to OK3. Note, the portions EI, GI and JI of DEI, FGI and HJI curves are shown vertical downwards. Thus, when the rate of interest is OR3 and equals MEC at point C in panel A, the economy attains optimum level of capital stock with the actual and the desired capital stock are equal. Just as a fall in the interest rate with no shift in the MEC curve raises the optimum stock of capital from its initial level, so an upward shift of the MEC curve with no change in the rate of interest will have the same result. If the capital goods industry is operating under the law of increasing costs, its supply curve will be upward sloping, which produces the downward sloping MEI curve. This is because the cost of capital goods increases as the rate of net investment increases. What will be the rate of net investment in this situation to bring the equilibrium of actual capital stock with the desired capital stock? This is explained with the help of figure 8, A, B and C panels, which show the MEC curve, the MEI curve and the rising supply curve of capital respectively. Again, I will not be explaining this figure and you can refer to the digitized version. In panel A, the equilibrium point for the capital goods industry is A, where the interest rate OR6 and the MEC are equal, and OK1 optimum stock of capital is determined. Here net investment is zero because the actual capital stock equals the desired capital stock of the economy. This is shown by the MEI1 curve at point Z in panel B of the figure. If the rate of interest falls to OR3, the desired capital stock will be OK4 and OK1 becomes the actual capital stock. Thus, K1, K4 is the gap between the actual capital stock and the desired capital stock. To bring equilibrium between the two capital stocks, net investment will have to be made. The rate of net investment will be determined by the equality of the MEI with the reduced interest rate OR3 in each period, and so increase the capital stock. Starting from point Z on the MEI1 curve, when the rate of interest is OR6, the rate of investment is zero. As the rate of net investment increases, the prices of capital goods rise and the rate of return on investment in these goods continue to fall till it equals the interest rate OR3 of the desired capital stock. The MEI1 curve equals the OR3 interest rate at point E in panel B. Thus, in period 1, ON1 rate of net investment increases the capital stock from OK1 to OK2 in panel A. This increase in the capital stock by K1, K2 reduces the MEC to point B on the curve MEC. Since the rate of interest is OR3, the capital stock can be increased further. It depends upon the rate of net investment, which is determined by the MEI2 curve at point F. So in period 2, the rate of net investment is ON2, which raises the capital stock to OK3 from OK2. Page 98. This increase in the capital stock by K2, K3 further reduces the MEC to point C. The rate of investment in period 3 as determined by the MEI3 curve corresponding to the level of MEC at point C is ON3, which raises the capital stock to reach the optimum level OK4. The MEC equals the rate of interest OR3, and the corresponding MEI curve is MEI4, which shows zero net investment at point L. The rate of net investment spending per time period depends on how steep the downward slope of the MEI curve is, or its elasticity, and this in turn depends on how steep the upward slope or elasticity of the supply curve of capital goods is. If the supply curve slopes sharply upwards, the rate of investment spending will fall sharply downwards with respect to the rate of interest. In any event, the capital stock will grow to the new optimum level, but its rate of growth will be slower the steeper the MEI curve. Note 4. Edward Shapiro, IBID, Italics Mine. We have seen above that it is the growth in the capital stock from the actual to the desired level that influences the rate of net investment. This is shown as a downward movement along the MEC curve. On the other hand, it is the flow of net investment that adjusts the actual capital stock towards its optimum level along each MEI curve with every fall in the rate of interest. Now, what will be the investment demand in the short run and the long run? Assuming the replacement investment to be given, the increasing stock of the capital and in the rate of net investment relating to fall in the interest rate in each period, as depicted by the MEC curve and the MEI1 curve in figure 9a and b, relate to the long run. Again, I will not be describing figure 9. It has two panels A and B, and you can refer to the digitized version. If the replacement investment increases with the increase in the capital stock, then the MEI curve relating to each level of the rate of interest are short run curves, and the long run MEI curve will be as shown in figure 9. The MEC curve in panel A of the figure relates to the long run. The curves MEI1, MEI2, and MEI3 are short run MEI curves. As the rate of interest falls in each period, the capital stock gradually increases from OK1 to OK2 and finally to OK3. This is because the rate of replacement investment increases from DE to FG and to HJ. The points E, G, and J, where the net investment is zero at each level of interest rate, are joined to form the long-run MEI curve, MEL. Factors other than the interest rate affecting inducement to invest. There are a number of factors other than the rate of interest which affect the inducement to invest. They are as follows. Note 5. These factors also affect MEC. These can be divided into endogenous and exogenous factors. Factors 1 to 5 are endogenous and the remaining factors are exogenous. Returning to the text. 1. Element of uncertainty. According to Keynes, the MEC is more volatile than the rate of interest. This is because the prospective yield of capital assets depends upon the business expectations. These business expectations are very uncertain. They may change quickly and drastically in response to the general mood of the business community, rumors, news of technical developments, political events. Even directors' ulcers may cause a sudden rise or fall of the expected rate of yield. Note 6. F. S. Brueman, Macroeconomics, 4th edition, 1970. Page 99. As a result, it is difficult to calculate the expected annual returns on the life of a capital asset. Further, because of uncertainty, investment projects usually have a short payoff period. Capital assets become obsolete earlier than their expected life due to rapid technological developments. The rate of depreciation also does not remain constant and varies much. So firms have a tendency to invest only if they are in a position to recover the capital outlay in a short period. These factors tend to bring instability in the investment function. Harvey and Johnson, Note 7, J. Harvey and M. Johnson, Introduction to Macroeconomics, 1971. They have pointed out that there is an area of uncertainty around the MEI curve. This is due to the market imperfections and because the yields from capital assets are based on business expectations. This is explained in Figure 10, where the uncertainty area lies between the two MEI curves, MEI1 and MEI2. So trying to briefly explain Figure 10, there are two curves, MEI1 and MEI2, such that MEI2 is lower than MEI1. Corresponding to interest rates R1 and R2 are investments I1 and I2 on the x-axis, such that I1 is less than I2, R1 is greater than R2. There is also a third point I3 which is less than I1. Here again on the x-axis is I and on the y-axis is MEI and R. Going back to the text, given the MEI1 curve, a fall in the rate of interest from OR1 to OR2 leads to a rise in investment from OI1 to OI2. If the MEI1 curve shifts to MEI2, investment actually falls to OI3. However, a shift in the MEI curve from MEI1 to MEI dash, when the rate of interest falls from OR1 to OR2, may keep investment at the same level OI1. Oh, I forgot to mention that MEI dash is a curve in between MEI1 and MEI2, such that for R2 the investment moves from I3 to I2 on, that is MEI2 to MEI dash. Therefore, businessmen are most optimistic around the MEI1 curve and they are most pessimistic around the MEI2 curve. To conclude, the MEI curve is often so volatile that the rate of interest is a minor influence upon investment decisions. 2. Existing stock of capital goods. If the existing stock of capital goods is large, it would discourage potential investors from entering into the making of goods. Again, induced investment will not take place if there is excess or idle capacity in the existing stock of capital assets. In case the existing stock of machines is working to its full capacity, an increase in the demand for goods manufactured by them will raise the demand for capital goods of this type and raise the inducement to invest. But it is the capital stock which influences the MEC. The MEC and the capital stock are inversely related. 3. Level of income. If the level of income rises in the economy through rise in money wage rates, the demand for goods will rise, which in turn will raise the inducement to invest. Contrawise, the inducement to investment will fall with the lowering of income levels. 4. Consumer demand. The present demand and the future demand for the products greatly influence the level of investment in the economy. If the current demand for consumer goods is increasing rapidly, more investment will be made. Even if we take the future demand for products, it will be considerably influenced by their current demand and both will influence the level of investment. Investment will be low if the demand is low and vice versa. 5. Liquid assets. The amount of liquid assets with the investors also influences the inducement to invest. If they possess large liquid assets, the inducement to invest is high. This is especially the case with those firms which keep large reserve funds and undistributed profits. On the contrary, the inducement to invest is low for investors having little liquid assets. 6. Inventions and innovations. Inventions and innovations tend to raise the inducement to invest. If inventions and technological improvements lead to more efficient methods of production which reduce costs, the MEC of new capital assets will rise. Higher MEC will induce firms to make larger investments in the new capital assets and in related ones. The absence of new technologies will mean low inducement to invest. And innovation also includes the opening of new areas. This requires the development of means of transport, the construction of houses, etc., that lead to new investment opportunities. Thus, inducement to invest arises. 7. New products. The nature of new products in terms of sales and costs may also influence their MEC and hence investment. If the sale prospects of a new product are high and the expected revenues more than the costs, the MEC will be high, which will encourage investment in this and related industries. For example, the invention of television must have encouraged the electronics industry to invest in these capital assets and used them to produce television sets, if they had expected profits to be higher than costs. Thus, lower maintenance and operating costs in the case of new products are important in increasing the inducement to invest. 8. Growth of population. A rapidly growing population means a growing market for all types of goods in the economy. To meet the demand of an increasing population in all brackets, investments will increase in all types of consumer goods industries. On the other hand, a declining population results in a shrinking market for goods, thereby lowering the inducement to invest. Page 100. 9. State policy. The economic policies of the government have an important influence on the inducement to invest in the country. If the state levies heavy progressive taxes on corporations, the inducement to invest is low, and vice versa. Heavy indirect taxation tends to raise the prices of commodities and adversely affects their demand, thereby lowering the inducement to invest, and vice versa. If the state follows the policy of nationalization of industries, the private enterprise would be discouraged to invest. On the other hand, if the state encourages private enterprise by providing credit, power and other facilities, inducement to invest will be high. 10. Political climate. Political conditions also affect the inducement to invest. If there is political instability in the country, the inducement to invest may be affected adversely. In the struggle for power, the rival parties may create unrest through hostile trade union activities, thereby creating uncertainty in business. On the other hand, a stable government creates confidence in the business community, whereby the inducement to invest is raised. Similarly, the danger of a revolution or war with some other country has an adverse effect on the inducement to invest, whereas peace and prosperity tends to raise it. Exercises. Question 1. Distinguish between 1. Capital and investment, and 2. Induced and autonomous investment. Question 2. What do you mean by investment? Explain the determinants of the level of investment. Question 3. What do you mean by marginal efficiency of capital? How it determines the level of investment? 4. What do you mean by induced investment? Discuss the determinants of inducement to invest. And 5. Distinguish between marginal efficiency of capital and marginal efficiency of investment. With this, we come to the end of Chapter 11.